Yes.
Okay.
We're all here.
Let's go. Yeah, we got enough.
Approval of the minutes from August 14th.
I'll move it.
Wait,
second.
George.
All in favor of the minutes as written? Resolution 281, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 of 17, Ulster County Comprehensive Campaign Finance and Accessibility Law, to be held on Tuesday, October 10th.
I'll move it for discussion.
A second.
Okay. Discussion?
Go.
Go ahead, Rich.
We're on the first one, Dave. The campaign finance one, 281. I thought we were going to have a subcommittee meeting on this discuss.
We were going to, and then of course we caught up into the.
No, I understand. Thing, so. No problem. I'm not upset about it. Can we put it? Can we maybe have a meeting in September, October, and discuss it? Because there's a lot of issues with this that we feel. There's another campaign finance one, which we feel is some of us feel is really worthy of. Passing, so we can work and come up with a good law. Come up with the two different proposals, and have a good law.
Can we talk here or no?
It's up to the chairman.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
No, if they could talk.
They want to respond.
He was looking this way. Can we respond?
How about after we get done our debate, and we'll let you guys weigh in. You don't before like that idea?
But before we take the vote.
That's the wonders of being chairman.
It's before we take the vote.
Before we take the vote. We're not going to debate the public here.
I believe we had, there was some discussion in that a number of people wanted to really sit down and take a look at this and run through it step by step and actually... because the method in which this was brought in is... not kind of the method that I usually like. I mean, I like to have the committee sit down and run through these things and actually examine one piece by piece and make a decision and then come up with something of that nature. Now, I mean, I have, so I mean, that's, you know, kind of the, I really think that we need to look at this very closely in a manner that is, I mean, we're, instead of really discussing this, you know, deeply, we're trying to discuss it in a laws and rules meeting that's going to be kind of quick and so on and so forth. So that's my take on that.
Pete, you want to add something?
Well, if that's the case, and if you guys want to postpone it, then we can.
I would like to see this committee meet at least once and try to hash it out, make some changes, and bring it back. Okay. If that's the committee,
I have no problem with that. As long, you know, this past month I was busy doing other things.
We understand everything.
But, we can do that and bring it up at next meeting, that would be fine. And in the meantime, I'll schedule a meeting that we can sit down. We had a subcommittee. Who's on that subcommittee? I know Richie is. I am.
I believe Legislator Rodriguez.
Were you going to work with him?
Oh, no. Rodriguez, not Ronk. I wasn't on this one.
Yeah, just let Jay know and she'll schedule it and work with everybody.
Okay, am I going to have somebody from the majority on there?
You are the majority. No, you're not.
Richie's the majority.
Okay. I wouldn't mind sitting in. So
feel free.
Listen, anybody can go to it.
Anybody can go to it. I'm not restricting anybody from being there.
I would like to participate, so...
It was requested at the last meeting. I'm looking in the minutes here that CSEA representatives be.
They want to be.
Yeah, they want to. They want to be included in discussion.
Right.
Okay. If we're done before we call a vote to postpone. If the league wants to interject, please start off one at a time and state your name for the record. And
my name is Jean McGarry. You said there were two proposals.
I didn't say anything.
No.
Go ahead, Rich.
My father had a proposal. He sent it to the League of Women Voters and never heard back. Ever. About probably twice in the last year he sent copies.
We've heard back. I don't know who he sends it to. That's kind of...
Jay, could you make sure the League gets a copy of John's?
Okay.
And who is it? I'd like to know where he sends it.
Sure.
So we could...
Jane McGarrity.
Sure. He said he's never been responded to.
He may have sent it to the state. League of Women Voters,
no,
that,
I don't
that's
think
possible.
So.
I'm just, I'm throwing it out there.
I think it was local. It was my understanding, but I'll find out.
I'll give you an address to make sure.
Well, what I'll do is I'll notify you ladies, and if you want, gentlemen. And you're more than welcome to attend when we have that meeting.
That would be very good.
Okay. Yes.
The other thing that the league could do, if you're interested, is hold a public meeting on it, where many people can come, you know, and join in. Now, that might be something that would be valuable, perhaps after your subcommittee.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I think what we want to do is really delve into this closely, because this is the way we got this. And to me, that's not the way to do legislation. You know, my take on it, legislation should be done, in other words, with all the all the players being present to deal with it. And when it's you're dealing with the legislature not being involved in it, that's, to me, is just not the way to do legislation.
And that, any he's right there. I mean, obviously, it's not that complicated. All you had to do is read it. I mean, I've received no complaints, other than they didn't like the process.
People have been involved in other things. You know, have been involved campaign season, the primaries, and all that. So people have been really involved in other things. So they haven't been zeroing in on this a great deal. I know a few candidates have zeroed in on it. But other than that, our body hasn't really zeroed in on it, because there was other pressing things. So my suggestion was been to really zero in on it, create a subcommittee, or for the whole.
We have a subcommittee, and what we'll do is I'll schedule a meeting.
And we can invite the League of Women. Sure, we can invite the League of Women voters.
And can I? They have signed it.
Meeting.
We signed in.
You signed in? Okay.
And if you want, I could be. I'll give you my email.
Okay. Okay,
dude. Give it to Jay, please.
You might want to. She's the one who'll make sure it gets out.
The clerk has all that stuff.
Can I just say,
Rich. CSEA has somebody there, and then the League of Women Voters want to be participated in it. And I think that's the way to go.
some of the concerns are if the finance commissioner, finance, can determine 1 year, the budget doesn't look good, so we're not going to fund this campaign finance thing.
Not possible the way the law's written.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's a minimum of $5,000.
$50,000.
No.
Yes, it is.
Well, again, let's not debate it. We're going to postpone it.
I'm going to find it, because...
obviously, when we have our committee, though, I would like you to have a spokesperson, because instead of everybody...
Right, and civil service is coming out.
Say, civil service will have a representative, and that way we can discuss everybody's concerns, if that's okay.
I'm gonna find it.
You just want one spokesperson, or just one person?
One spokesperson.
But others
can attend, I don't care.
Our meetings are all open.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, no. Absolutely.
Our meetings are all open and are all recorded.
But if the more people that are speaking, the more
it gets confusing
it becomes. And before you know it, we're off on a tangent doing something we never intended to do to begin with. And next thing you know, everything once again is becoming a problem.
No event shall the recommendation be less than 50,000 or more than 150,000.
All right.
Then I read it.
Okay. So we got a motion to postpone.
The same as the last one?
Yeah.
Any second?
Second, Kenny.
Second.
All in favor to postpone?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Talk about the tax cut.
Okay.
We're going to move to 320, adopting proposed local law number 15 of 16, amending the Ulster County Charter, Section C-101A, and the Ulster County Administrative Code, Section A-30-2A, to amend the powers and duties of the Ulster County Human Rights Commission.
Motion to discuss, I guess.
Second.
Anybody?
You made the motion. Start talking.
I'm just saying.
Still a terrible one. I stand corrected on that one. The other one, I think you like the other one much better.
Sorry, hold on a second. I lost my spot. I had my stuff all ready for this, and I lost my spot.
But you're saying,
May I speak, Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
sure.
You may.
All right. So this is not 341. 320, right? All right. So, as is also illustrated in the minutes from last month, we discussed having a subcommittee, special committee on human rights to discuss the issue holistically rather than focusing on one or two or three different groups, you know, particularly yes. one group we've been spending a significant amount of time talking about.
Yes.
That's why I introduced Resolution 371, which is authorizing the formation of an Ulster County Human Rights Task Force. I feel like this is something that we shouldn't just bring in amongst ourselves in the legislature, but we need to bring in other stakeholders. So pending the passage of the task force and their work, I would move that we postpone Resolution 320. I don't think that we're ready to adopt these laws yet.
Well,
I'm making the same motion on 321.
All I'd like to say is I would like to see something, if possible, get done between now and the end of the year.
That's my goal. My goal is that the task force will meet and examine
That's
these laws and discuss other options. Not to get off too far on a tangent, but I mean the task force is going to bring together a member of the a representative of the LGBTQ community, a representative from the NAACP, two representatives from religious organizations, two of our human rights commissioners who were not consulted.
Who's going to schedule the meeting?
The chairman.
After making the appointments, I would schedule the meeting and bring everybody together.
Okay.
Dave, go ahead.
Now, this one had the opposite problem. It said it was done by a few legislators, and they didn't reach out to anybody outside. And that had the opposite problem. In other words, you want to bring all the stakeholders in. And in fact, in other words, I supported this on its face because I think we should be doing it. But then we had a public hearing, and the people from the Human Rights Commission came in and said, "What are you guys doing?"
Right.
Yep.
They didn't understand what we're doing. Where's their budget in there? They wanted to make sure they understood what their powers really were. At least what the intent was, and I mean that came from the chairman of the Human Rights Commission, who happens to be an attorney, along with some of the members. So, although my name is on this, I supported the idea when they put it through. But I made the comment even when Legislator Rodriguez put this in. Not a very good way of doing it. I mean, I support this idea, but. As a result, because it was something that I requested 20 years ago. So the thing is that I think the way to go about is the task force to come up with and then actually have everybody there. We've got a good framework. Like the other one, we have a good framework. And
okay.
Maybe there will be very little changes done in either one of them.
Very good.
So the framework, to me, when we do legislation, I like having the framework.
Framework is good.
So I've made a motion to postpone 320.
I'll second it.
Craig, got anything to add?
No.
Thank you. All in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
When do you think you might have that meeting?
I mean, if the task force is created, at the meeting tomorrow night, I would plan to have the appointments done by the end of the week. And then we might be able to have the first meeting the week after that.
You're going to advertise the appointments?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And if anybody has any ideas, I'm not being presumptuous to say that it's going to be passed tomorrow night.
Tell me, so I don't have to look it up right now. Who are the members that are going to be that?
One member of the LGBTQ community, one member of the NAACP, two representatives of religious organizations, two human rights commissioners, and one legislator from each caucus.
Okay.
Very nice meeting.
You want to be involved in that also? The Human Rights Commission that we're putting together? I mean, it's up to you guys if you want to be involved in it.
Doesn't look like it. I don't see a lot of nodding heads.
All right, no problem.
We
we do believe in human rights, but the, you know, campaign financing is very close to our hearts.
One thing at a time. Okay, we're going to move along to 321, adopt proposed local law number 16. And I believe Kenny said he was going to want to postpone this.
Yeah. It's been moved and seconded for discussion by Ronk and Lauren, and I'll move that we postpone it.
Pete, you got that second?
That's second.
All in favor of postponing 321?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Going to 341.
We're getting a lot done tonight.
It's about to get better, Dave.
Sorry. Keep on postponing.
Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 17, establishing the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board and providing for the qualification, examination, licensing, and regulations of electricians in Ulster County, to be held on October 10th at 6:10 p.m.
I'll move it for discussion.
Guess I'll second it.
For discussion.
Discussion. Go ahead, Dave. Can I ask, for the record, are you shaking your head?
Am I shaking my head? Yeah, I'm shaking my head.
Okay.
For the record, he just shook his head.
I think there's a lot of head shaking going on with this one.
The problem again here, we got another situation where we throw in this electrical licensing board without discussing anything with electricians or with any trade unions or anything of the nature, just throwing one in there.
Chamber.
The chamber could have been involved, be involved in that.
Unions.
Exactly. That's what I was, the trade unions, yes. The electricians. I mean, I know a lot of people want, and I believe this is probably a good idea to do. I know we have we have electrical licensing, and most of the city of Kingston has one, and some of the larger towns have that. And it would make sense to have one in the county, but in other words,
providing that people are allowed to take the test.
Right.
The test's got to be reasonable.
And not only that, but I know at one point, I can go back in the city of Kingston back over 30 years ago, where you had to have more education to be an electrician than you did if you were a doctor.
You could become a doctor before you could become
in the city of Kingston. They had to adjust those laws, because when I was first serving on the Common Council, we were reading through these, and it was absurd.
It was a seven-year apprenticeship.
You would have an easier time becoming a doctor than you would an electrician in the city.
I don't know if it'd be easier, but you could get it sooner. With a seven-year apprenticeship?
It took almost 18 years to get an apprenticeship. They do actually get a license. You had to work under somebody for so many years. You had to do
it. It's like a lancer.
But that being said, this could be useful.
You're raising your arm before.
Yeah. It's a quick question. Aren't all tradesmen tradespersons subject to an inspection by an underwriter when the project's done anyway?
Yeah.
So why?
Member of the
why would this be
National Board of Fire Underwriters?
Another layer of bureaucratic red tape for small businesses. When I would actually be more concerned that a homeowner who's not licensed can do their own electrical work on their house and be subject to the same inspection by an underwriter and not be licensed to do so.
They can.
Homeowners can.
And the other idea is, instead I can't do it, so I call me, Richard. Who knows? He knows a little bit of electric. He comes in, starts wiring my house, and I pay him.
Wire.
Technically, if he could just say that I can do your work. But he doesn't, maybe he works in construction, he knows a little bit of electric, but he's never wired a house, and I'm paying him, and that's why you have licensing people for this type of thing. I mean, it's really important in more population-dense areas, obviously, because you can, take out more than just your own house.
You should have been.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more important, electrical wiring is more important than plumbing. Plumbing and the worst. They're both important. But the bottom line is, you can electrocute somebody, or you can electrocute yourself.
No, but can I just say? Can I say something? I'm just following up what Craig said. When you have an electrician, I'm building a garage and an apartment above it, so I'm going through all this now. When I have the walls open and my electrician, the guy ran all the wires, the electric inspector comes out, he gives you a form that says the wires, even though they're not really hooked up, I mean, they're in a box, the electric's live there, but the outlets are just wired, you know, the wires are just open on the other end. He inspects them all, make sure you use the right gauge wire, all that kind of stuff, make sure the bathroom circuits aren't attached to any other circuits in the house. Don't ask me why they do that, but he came out, inspected it, then I insulate, sheetrocked all the walls. Now I'm putting all the, not me, but the electrician's putting all the things in, the outlets and the lights and the fans and all that stuff, and this inspector comes back when everything's working and makes sure they're all working and signs off on it. I don't understand why we necessarily need this either. And if you look, if it's an out-of-state person, it's $350. What if somebody has a relative that's going to come and do their electric work for them? They're building a house. They're going to have their uncle come and do it for them. They got to go get a license for $350 to wire up a, you know, an addition.
I'm going to let Kenny speak, and then we'll call a vote.
I mean, I tend to agree with legislators Parity and Lopez that this is, you know, an unnecessary, you know, level of government when you already have safety procedures in place for electrical work. But one of my biggest issues with it is that, you know, laws like this can be seen as a money grab because the permits are very expensive. I'm reading this, it's got $150 for a name change on a permit that you've already gotten. And, you know, I would be much more supportive of something like this. Not saying I would be 100% supportive, but much more supportive if there was a reciprocity clause that really affected more people than the, you know, they call it grandfather clauses in here, but it's really, you know, there's really one portion's a reciprocity clause. And the only thing it's reciprocal with is the city of Kingston. There are other counties in our region that have electrical contractor licensing laws. I mean, that's my biggest thing is if we have somebody from Ulster County who goes to do work in Rockland County and Dutchess County and Westchester and Orange County, they got to get 5 permits. But you can't have the licensing
permits.
Well, you have licenses. You have to get, you know, you have to get a license from each municipality. Even if you know, reciprocity right. clauses with laws like this normally have, you know, some sort of equality standard that if the standard in another municipality is equal to or greater than the standard here, then the license is reciprocal. You know, which I think Rockland has very strict licensing laws. As
well, I have a license in Rockland, Putnam, and Westchester, and none of the three recognize the other.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Because laws like this have licensing boards that need to be funded, and the only way you fund the licensing board is through use of a lot of licensing fees.
Yes.
Again, I just think that this is going to be a detriment to business in our county rather than help to those in keeping up their houses. So,
Craig, you want to finish up?
Yeah, yeah, one more thing. Is there a database to know? Because I know that this policy is in part to prevent any sort of electrical issues that may happen. Is there a database somewhere we can find information as to how many electrical hazards or fires were as a result of somebody who did the electrical work without being licensed?
No.
That's a good point.
I don't think so.
I think there may be. There's got to be some type of a database.
Well, there's a database of electrical fires, but I think what he's saying is if whether a contractor did it or, you know, Joe Weekender did it. You know, it's...
Yeah, but or Jane Weekender. There's some department in the Department of State.
I mean, I would think... You know, and this is Legislator Rodriguez's proposed law, but there's no justification on why we need the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, you know, there's been 7 houses that burned down, or there's just, but what's other than just
money
more
grab.
Fees and revenues for the county and a burden on the local electricians? It's a non-issue, and you know, and it's important in Kingston. There's older houses in Kingston. If somebody screws up, 3 or 4 houses could burn down. It's not an issue in 90% of Ulster County. The houses are far apart. It's an issue in Kingston, maybe in the village of New Paltz, you know, the sororities, but it's not a safety issue in Stone Ridge.
All in favor?
Of what?
Of the resolution?
Yes.
I thought you said you were postponing it.
No, I never said that.
This is a public hearing anyway, right? It's a public hearing?
The sponsor's not here. The sponsor didn't call the chairman to let me know his wishes, so I'm prepared to vote on it.
Yeah, that's fine. He can get a petition.
He can get a petition, and he can get a committee. And
well, I mean, I'd like to have it looked at before I support something of this nature. I mean,
As the chairman wants to set up a committee down the road next year.
I don't think he does. Well.
And let's,
is he the only one that's on this?
Yeah.
It's just Hector.
I mean, he's not even a second sponsor.
You know what? If he wants to get a committee to discharge it, it'll be on the legislature next month. So it'll be on
I get that, but it's the way to do it if it's going to fail.
Exactly.
I mean, I would rather you just take and hear it, and if you want to make changes to it, make changes to it, and then bring it back.
I don't want to vote it down.
Yeah, I don't see a need for it. Unless he can show there's a need for it, I'm not going to support it. And he should have done that before he put the resolution in.
Again, all in favor of 3-4-1?
No.
All opposed to 3-4-1?
Aye.
No.
I'm in favor.
I'm a no at this point.
Thank you. We got 371, authorizing the formation of Ulster County Human Rights Task Force.
I'll move it.
Second.
Kenny?
Spoke about it a little bit earlier. I think that the issue of human rights and a whole overarching change to the way that we handle our Human Rights Commission is something that shouldn't just be thought about in the form of one subgroup of the county residents, which has been the distinct focus for the past 14 months now. I think that we should bring in all the stakeholders and decide whether we really need a change to the Human Rights Commission or not. This might mean that we don't. This commission might say that the two-tiered approach that we have right now, where our Human Rights Commission conciliates and mediates and then, you know, attempts to, you know, bring people together rather than tear them apart, and if that doesn't work, goes to the state for potential fines and whatnot. But I want to hear from the stakeholders. I want to hear from our human rights commissioners. I want to hear from the people.
I'm going to go with Dave and then Pete.
Well, I think we do need a adjustment in this, but that's, you know, my take on it is I would prefer things to be handled here rather than send them to the state. My take on it is that way it is done much quicker. It's done in home, in house, shall we say, instead of saying, okay, you know, we there may be a problem. We send it up to the state and it gets taken care of 3 months later. The problem with that is I actually seen it where it hurt somebody that was charged for it, for a, you know, a violation of human rights, and the person was on the front page, and then 3 months later it was on the back page that the state said there was no warrant, you know, that there was nothing that substantiated the charge whatsoever. Well, my take on it is people forgot all about that by the time that happened, and I would rather see something taken care of immediately here, and that's the way it should be done, and we should empower our Human Rights Commission to do such. But having said that, we also have to make sure that they understand the powers that we're giving them, and they need to be part of the process because they're the ones that are going to be doing it. And I think right now we have an unbelievably good Human Rights Commission. I mean, it's probably the best Human Rights Commission we've had in a very long time. I mean, they're very active. They've done a number of workshops that they've done that they haven't done, that's never been done in the past. We have an attorney that is the chairman of it. And so as a result, I believe that, you know, I think we do need to fix that, but I also support this task force because I think that is the better way of approaching it.
Pete, do you agree with your colleague?
Yes, I agree with what Dave just said, but okay. I'd also like to, when we look at this, see if we could get somebody possibly from the state to participate with us in this that could help us in identifying what we can do, what we can't do.
From the State Division of Human Rights?
Yes.
I wouldn't be opposed to asking for that help.
I mean, that way...
Governor's going to be in Kingston tomorrow. We can ask him.
As an observer?
What's he doing coming to Kingston?
Well,
nobody knows.
He's got a big announcement to make.
I don't know.
Dave, he didn't call you.
Kingston.
That being said...
When he comes in, I do get like an email or something, but I didn't.
Yeah, it just says, please come for a surprise to the governor.
And I know that we have our...
Oh, I didn't see it. Maybe I didn't look at my emails thing.
Yeah, we did.
I'm sorry.
They left Kingston legislators out of it.
I would also like to think about getting somebody from the... Because we have nobody from the legal profession other than our attorneys, which are going to argue back and forth. But an independent...
That's going to cost money.
No, it's not. Yeah, see if somebody wants to volunteer. Find a retired judge or something, someone that has experience
Kavanaugh.
In this.
Who's more knowledgeable?
Well, we have a guy that's on the chairman of the Human Rights Commission, is an attorney.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, we might want to have some sort of legal representation as well. That could help us identify what we can do and, what we can do, what we can't do legally. Because we're going to be going back and forth for the next 3 months, and I'm not going to be here for the next 3 months.
Get it done. October, November, December?
Oh, yeah, I am. All right, that's 4 months. But I'd like to get it done. I would like I would like to be reasonable. Bye.
Me neither.
You're taking 3 months off?
Me neither. You and I are in the same time frame right now.
I really would. I would like to.
Yeah, you're going
to
start the Marble Town Human Rights Commission.
Get this done between now and January.
I agree. I will make sure that we reach out to the State Division on Human Rights and see if somebody would come down and participate. I don't know where you'd find an impartial person, because everyone's coming. I'm a lawyer, but I'll think about it.
Certainly impartial, but I mean somebody that knows the legal system when it comes to human rights.
Yep.
And Kenny,
on a daily basis.
You're asking two legislators to serve.
Yep.
And it might be wise to have two members of this caucus get first shot at it, this committee, since we've been debating this for the last...
10 years.
Yes.
I'm kicking around ideas about legislators in my head, and, we...
Maybe a fresh look?
Yeah. No, I definitely, many of the legislators that come to mind are from this very committee.
Good. All in favor, 371?
Aye.
Aye.
Finishing up with 373, amending the rules of order in relation to appointing authority of legislative staff.
I'll move it.
I'll second it for discussion.
Go ahead.
This is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. It's something that I thought about prior to becoming chairman of the legislature. It's something that actually came up in our last, our first charter revision. It's also the last charter revision that we've had so far. We're going to have another one at the end of this month starting, but it's just on redistricting, something I'll talk to you folks afterwards, because I'm sure it's something you're going to be interested in. We have a staff in the legislature that works for the whole legislature. The chairman always has a confidential secretary who reports to he or she, and would, the idea of a confidential secretary you would need to have appointed by the chairman. But we now have a clerk that's elected to a 2-year term. The clerk works for the whole legislature. The staff, in theory, works for the whole legislature. It would make sense to me that the legislative clerk appoint the staff. And that the staff would be would serve at the pleasure of the clerk at the legislature. Now, my thought process on that is that the clerk is already the full-time employee who's here running the office, all week. The chairman is a part-time position, is not here every day most of the time. It's a function of our new government. The chairman is no longer the CEO of the county. The chairman used to make all the appointments in the county. Now, the county executive makes the majority of them. And we really have a professional staff here that works in a nonpartisan, nonpolitical way. And I don't think it's right to have them worried every year. Because if the chairman is, not elected and a new chairman comes in and wants to clean house, you lose the entire professional staff. We have a CPA. We have a paralegal now. We have, you know, a great deputy clerk who has a lot of knowledge about the Board of Elections, county operations. What's that?
Is that fine you're talking about?
So that's where this is coming from, and it was important for me to put it in this month because I wanted to do it before the November election. To me, it's important that, you know, this will be up for a first reading this month. It'll be up for a vote next month. It happens before the election so no one can say that they did it to protect a bunch of people who would be fired if the other side took over, or, you know, that it's just about politics.
Let me ask you another question. You don't mind. What happens?
Another question? It's the first question.
Yes. All right. What happens if there's a new majority party next year?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't they just overrule this piece of legislation? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would look awfully political, wouldn't it?
But
to me, again, if they want to be transparent about it, then that's fine with me.
But then again, doesn't this look a little political?
No, I think it would look political if we did it after November.
Well, you know, the point is that I understand where you're coming from, believe me. I mean, as you know, I was the person that put in the amendment to the charter.
Yep.
Make sure that the clerk was appointed by the legislative body, mm-hmm. as opposed to a chairman. I felt that that way you would end up getting more professionalism. I also believe in the continuity of the staff. And when I served as the chairman, I was the chief executive officer, and I wanted to keep most of the people there,
yeah.
because to me it's really foolish throwing people out and bringing people in.
But people now, have been foolish in the past.
Oh, I believe me, I've seen what happened with the one chairman that was here, and we had a total turnover. Contract agencies didn't get their money. It was that we paid. They finally got the money. In fact, some of it had to be encumbered to get them the money. And,
yep.
and you know, these are small agencies that, you know, all of a sudden $20,000 meaning a real lot for them.
And make payroll.
Yeah, and they had, you know, so I know, and that was because the staff was turned over so much during that 2-year period. But most of the people have been really, most of the chairmen have kept, in other words, they may move out one or two people, but they basically kept the continuity there. So I know it's an important thing. And I was the first Democratic chairman in almost 30 years.
I know.
So they, you know, people thought we were
you could have wiped out.
Throw everybody out, but that didn't make sense to me. So the point is that I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not sure if that's the right way to go. I know there is, for instance, our budget person,
yep.
I think should be somebody that is brought in with a contract, a 3-year contract or mm-hmm. something of that nature. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but we should discuss that aspect. But, I mean, the budget person, like I said, 3-year contract with a budget person, and then they get a fourth extra year, could be, and then the following time they could actually get 4-year contract.
The only definite way to protect the people that are here would be make it civil service.
And nobody
wants to be civil service.
The only issue that I have with civil service
is then you can lose a good person who just can't take a test. Right, right. And I agree. But that's the only way to really protect them. I mean, if we give the clerk the ability to hire and fire, well, then one day somebody walks in, they don't get along with the individual, they can be let go. Same thing happens.
Clerks can come and go.
No, they get a 2-year.
No, they can't, because clerks are approved by the entire legislature.
And 2 years they could go.
In 2 years.
You can also remove.
I'm just saying.
You can also remove the clerk.
How you set this up? Right. No matter what you do, you're going to. People are going to be at risk of losing their jobs.
No, I get that, but I think that
if it's not civil service.
The other side of this to me is that I think that this creates a situation where the staff are more working for 23 legislators. Rather than for one legislator who's a chairman at any given time. That's where I'm coming from with this. To me, there's no politics, there's no singling out, there's no nothing. Other than I think that the continuity of the staff, working for the whole legislature, and really being less political. That's what this is about to me. making the whole situation less political. I bet you right now.
Let me ask you, why do you have a confidential secretary at this point?
Well, honestly, my confidential secretary, you know, Juan Tantillo, the confidential secretary also serves as a deputy clerk and does more deputy clerk work for the clerk than
do you have a confidential secretary? Why do you need one?
Chairman has a lot of duties that, you know, are in addition to the rest of the members of the legislature.
Didn't we vote to take away the confidential secretary of the
controller? Oh, here we go.
The controller.
We voted to take away the comptroller's constituent and community liaison.
Well,
he came to three public hearings and identified him as a constituent and community liaison. He was not doing confidential secretary work. He was appearing at events and representing the comptroller at things.
He was a confidential secretary.
Running the Zephyr Teach Out campaign.
Go ahead, Rich.
Thanks. I got mixed feelings about the resolution. I'm going to support it tonight, but I have mixed feelings. One of them is they are positions that go with the political parties. And, you know, if you want a nice, long, secure career, you kind of stay in civil service. If you want to have a job like this, you know, sometimes you're at the whim of the public. You're at the whim of the public and the way they vote. And I get that. I've been here 16 years. I bet the last 12, when a new chairman comes in, he or she keeps the staff. If somebody retires or moves on to the state, they replace them with somebody from their party. But they don't go in.
That's not what the one did.
Who was it? I don't remember.
He's not going to name any names, but it was a chairwoman of the legislature. He won't name any names, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
She tore apart the whole thing.
One of our folks died. I mean, it was a lot going on. I mean, Okay, so with the exception of one person, it's when somebody retires, they bring somebody in who is in their party, and I understand that's how it works. My concern I have is that, which I don't like at all, and I personally think it's illegal, is Chairman or Hector Rodriguez, Legislator Rodriguez, is telling everybody he can't wait to fire the staff next year. And I've heard political candidates say, I can't wait to walk this person out of the building. And whether you like it or not, these are political patronage jobs, but you can't fire somebody because of a political party, even though they're at the pleasure. So that's my concern, is that the way these guys are talking is irresponsible, in my opinion. I don't think anybody should take pleasure in firing somebody.
But also,
it's a terrible thing. I've been fired. I've been laid off from my job.
It's a violent act.
It's terrible. It's a violent act. And when you've got people bragging that they're going to get rid of people, to me, it's
disgusting.
You know what, Richie? The comment about political patronage jobs, that's how they have been in the past. No, that has happened a lot in the past. But I can tell you that since I've been chairman, I haven't hired a single new Republican to work in this office, because to me it's not about that. It's about the best staff for the body, and I think that that's what this does.
You're
I think
not that that this still,
no, they're not. No, really, they're not. Any legislator can look up anybody's voter registration. I can tell you that I've never asked anybody who I've hired how they're registered to vote. I mean, I know, but you know, I haven't asked them, and I haven't known it going into it.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to cut you off right there.
All right, fair enough.
And Craig, do you want to add anything in, Denner?
We can change it back.
All in favor of 3-4-7-3?
Aye.
Sure, on this one.
Let me
flip a coin. I just got a quarter.
Oh,
it was $2 my drink. I don't have change.
David,
I'm going to vote yes. I'm not sure about it either, to be honest.
You can always change your mind tomorrow.
I can change my mind when I try.
2 days.
And plus, this is only for the first reading. It'll come back again for a second reading and a vote in October.
There you go.
Thanks.
There still has to be continuity.
All right, I'll let it go in for a reading. I mean, I need to review. I mean, this is something I need to think kind of deeply on, because I've actually, it was brought up to me, yesterday when I noticed the resolutions when I was running through things. And I was thinking about it at that point. That was one of the things that I talked to, was thinking in my mind, was the budget officer. I really think certain people should be set, you know, like the clerk who did that for a 2-year by the body, and the same thing with the budget person, because you want to make sure that they're always there, and you want somebody that's professional. You know, I mean, we've seen what happened, and I ended up really liking the guy that was hired as a budget guy by one chairman here, but the guy had zero experience in budgeting. It was ridiculous. Zero.
Job training.
And so when if that was hired by the body, it would have been a different ball game, because then the body begins to think, oh, wait a minute, we do have to have somebody that knows what they're doing there. So I see that point that you're bringing across. But I'm not sure if the entire set, because there is some politics involved in this, not how you look
always
at it.
Is. Okay. New or old business, I'll entertain. Penny.
I know that I've spoken to the county attorney about it. I'm going to speak to the executive about it tomorrow. We have this month, as Mr. Pascal has pointed out to me in a memo, I think at one point, we have a charter revision coming up to resolve the redistricting.
Do we got to vote on that resolution or no?
Eventually. Not to create the commission. The commission, it's incumbent upon the county executive to
call
the meeting. What's that?
If he doesn't call it?
That's a good question. I don't think that he has a choice.
What about members? Give us a rundown who gets appointed.
Nick?
Yeah, is it two from each?
I think it's two from each caucus, and then three from the executive, yeah.
He convenes and appoints the chairperson.
What's this for?
Redistricting. We never got the authority from the state to have a permissive referendum on redistricting. So now the clause that we put in there, this September, we have a new charter revision commission to discuss the issue of redistricting.
Right. You came up with that clause. That's the latest.
Yeah.
You can do it. So came up with that clause.
Can I ask a question? So there's going to be two from each party and three from the executive to draw districts?
No, this is charter revision to talk about the redistricting.
The one
unresolved issue was whether or not the legislature would ratify the districts.
I remember the discussion when we put that in there.
And what we decided to do was to ask the state for authority to have a permissive referendum on the redistricting lines. If the permissive referendum happened and the districts failed, they go back to the drawing board with a new redistricting commission again. I think at that time it was just a stalemate. There were, one side wanted the legislature to ratify, the
in
other
Albany,
side what's that? No, the, our legislature to approve or disapprove of the districts, and then there was another side that wanted an unelected board to have the final say.
Right, there was three on each side, and then they picked.
And
two
then those
people.
And those three, and those, yeah,
three,
yeah, it was
three, and they picked two new people. Right?
It's two on each side. Those four people get in the room, pick three more.
Right,
so
there's seven. We voted on it last time.
And it passed 31-2, and the only two people who voted against it was because redistricted out of the legislature.
We also reduced the legislature from 33 to 23.
Yeah. It's not going to be that bad next time. Absolutely.
It's not going to be as controversial this time.
You know, I talk about our model here with other legislatures around the state, because I think that we're the only one with independent redistricting, and it worked really well. There were a couple of sets of districts that were painfully bad. One of them, you know, had my town, my hamlet, the hamlet of Walkill in the town of Shangum, in the same district as Denning and Hardenburg by going around all of the people in Wawarsing. Right. And it would have taken a legislator from that district an hour and a half to get from end to end. In a county legislature district is horrendous.
But what if
that became the district? I mean, that's why, you know, we're elected by the boss.
Listen,
you know, we're elected by
was,
the people.
Was right. It wasn't politics in the intent to create.
Exactly.
That. It was a contiguous, even though there was no road going there.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, the problem is there's also sometimes the commission also changed. Did make a number of changes.
Up in Sorbetes?
I mean, I know what happened with in my situation. I never called. I never tried to put any pressure on. Other people did. And
I know.
It kept changing, and then all of a sudden, I ended up in a primary. I probably should have made the calls, but did some pushing.
Well, you won your primary, so jokes on that.
I wasn't going to worry about it.
You were in Florida.
What?
You were in Florida.
I was in Florida?
Well, we were doing the redistricting,
10 years ago?
Yeah. You remember it.
You guys are brutal.
Yeah, check the minutes.
6 years ago.
I don't know about that, buddy.
Who can remember all this stuff?
I can.
I was
we were in the same district.
I don't know. I was in Florida 10 years ago.
And Dave were in the same district.
No, me and Dave were in the same district. You came home that weekend.
I never lived outside of the city of Kingston, actually. Actually, no, I lived in Port Huron.
No, he's talking about vacation.
I'm talking about vacation.
When they... what I'm saying is on vacation the entire time.
He's making the itinerary. He knows exactly what you do every day.
Oh, boy. Remember you called me.
I'm glad the league is having a big joke out of our...
It's entertaining.
I wanted to update the committee. I know it's something we've talked about in the past. I'm going to speak to the executive about it tomorrow because I think that we should move on it sooner rather than later. I don't want to wait till November to call the meeting.
What's your goal? You don't want the legislature to vote on it?
I want the legislature to vote. I mean, that...
See, I disagree.
That's what I want.
I think the legislature should vote on it.
But again, we can disagree, and I'm sure that the members of the commission are going to disagree as
now
well.
Now, what do you want the legislature to vote
on? I don't think the legislature should have a say.
But you said it.
I think that we were elected by the people to make these decisions, not to draw the lines, but to vote yes or no on the lines.
I understand.
And it worked the last time.
I get the argument, but I just think the public would say the legislature shouldn't be allowed to vote on it. I think if you put that on a ballot, it would lose 90% to 10%. People would say, no, the legislature shouldn't have a say in their own districts.
But again, it's not having a say. It's ratifying or not. No, because we don't go back and change. We don't have the authority to change the districts.
New districts get drawn up.
Yeah, by an independent commission, not by the legislature.
I know that, but I'm just saying there isn't a self-interest in this on legislators to vote against something that's not good for them.
I think it's in the self-interest of the county to have decent districts, not ones that are terrible, gerrymandered all over the place.
But they're not going to be.
They could be.
But they're not.
They could be.
Nah.
They could be.
I think if the process works the way it's supposed to, like it did last time, overwhelmingly passed. Overwhelmingly passes.
Yeah, and it worked good last time. Right, Pete? Anyway.
Well, I won't be
get rid of 10.
So, next year.
Got rid of 10.
Yeah,
I'll be in Florida.
I move we adjourn.
You can have a meeting in Marbletown anytime you want, though.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You got a brand,
actually, you can have a meeting in Rosendale anytime you want.
Well, yeah, you got a great town hall down there. It's for both.
Yeah, in the town of Rosendale.
All right.
Wonderful.
Meeting adjourned.
I would like to...
There was a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'd like to see if we could schedule something tonight.
All right, let me ask that. Do that on your
all
own
in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.